Emperor of the Earth.
Shell South Africa and Shell dealers throughout the Republic take pleasure in presenting As It Was Written by Arthur Wilmot. This mystery drama, with the emphasis on the character of the lady who solves the crime rather than the crime itself, has been adapted and produced by Michael Silver for Shell.
Listen to the sound of Le Mans. A drama of the Daytona 24 Hour. The Brands Hatch 500 Mile, the Monaco Grand Prix. These are some of the great motor races of the world.
Here, on these engine-punishing endurance tracks, here a motor oil must give the ultimate in lubrication. And that's why so many world champion drivers like Graham Hill and Dennis Hulme rely on Shell motor oil.
From the knowledge, from the experience gained on the great racetracks of the world, Shell has developed a motor oil for you, the motorist. An oil to give you the best in engine protection. Shell Super Motor Oil.
Most world championship races are won on Shell.
Reason enough for using Shell Super Motor Oil in your car?
And now, Arthur Wilmot's play, As It Was Written.
I see that Miss Hall hasn't returned her book yet. Oh, she's run up quite a huge fine.
Oh, Emily, she hasn't had it all that long. A huge fine comes to 15 cents.
Well, it's a bit silly, but... Oh, he's still out there.
Who's still out there?
That young man. He's been staring at this shop for over half an hour. Oh, he must have heard me. He's crossing the road.
Perhaps he hasn't made up his mind what to buy.
Oh, here he is. Oh, can I help?
Well, I'm not sure, really.
Is it a particular book you're after? Or do you want to browse around? You're quite welcome to do so.
Yes, it's a book. I'm not even sure whether it's still in print. I've been trying to find it everywhere, and in fact, you're the last hope.
Oh, and what's the title?
It's called The Thin Blade of Death by Robert Heath.
Robert Heath? Oh, no, I'm sure we haven't got that book in stock. Did you say it was an old publication?
Yes. Oh, well, it was just a forlorn hope.
Thin Blade of Death? Harriet? I'm sure it's among that job lot of second-hand books we bought about a month ago.
Oh, really? You've got the book?
Well, I'm almost sure. We haven't had time to put it out in the library yet.
Oh, but this is marvelous. Could you get it for me? I don't mind what the cost is.
Oh, why, most certainly. It's in our storeroom. I'll get it for you.
My sister won't be a moment. Do you want to buy the book, or do you wish to take it from our library?
Well, I'll borrow the book, if that's all right.
Oh, perfectly. You pay a deposit of 50 cents, and there's a charge of 6 cents a week.
Oh, fine. Here you are.
Oh, thank you. I do hope you can find the book, all right? There you are. 54 cents change.
Oh, thank you.
I'll make out your subscriber's card.
I've got it. I knew I was right.
Oh, good.
No, just a minute, dear. I'm making out a card for the gentleman. Your name, please?
Goldsmith. Peter Goldsmith.
And your address?
Well, 48 West Street, the Buff.
48 West Street, the Buff. Thank you. Here's the book.
Oh, I'm so sorry it's not in a better condition, but it's a very old book.
Oh, that's all right. So long as I've got it, I've searched everywhere.
Oh, why? It's obviously some mystery story. But have you heard anything about it? Is it...
Oh, excuse me, I've just noticed the time. I must rush. Thank you so much.
Strange. Oh, Emily, what's strange now? Wanting that particular book. It's so old. Nobody's reviewed it for years.
Oh, what? He may be a friend of the author's or anything. Does it matter?
He took so long coming into the shop and then giving that false name.
False name? Oh, Emily, you really are becoming like an Agatha Christie character. How you know it was false?
Well, the way he spoke the words, Peter Goldsmith. And that look on his face. Oh, of course it wasn't his real name.
Emily, you're allowing your imagination to run away with you again.
Why should I have remembered the book when he mentioned it? After all, it was only part of a job lot. There was something on my mind, something to do with the title.
Now, look, dear, we'll never get our cataloguing done if you go around trying to be a Mrs. Sherlock Holmes.
Say what you like, but I can't help feeling that there is something very strange going on.
Morning, dear.
Oh, hello, Harriet, dear. How did you enjoy the film last night?
Not bad. Could I do with my coffee?
Well, here you are. There, drink it while it's nice and hot, and thank you.
Emily, your hand is shaking. Are you all right, dear? Did you have one of your sleepless nights?
That young man, gave his name as Peter Goldsmith. He never did come back, did he?
Come back?
Well, he never returned the book.
Oh, Emily, does it matter? You saw how old and torn it was, and he did pay his 50 cents deposit. We couldn't have sold it for any more.
Wait until you see this morning's paper.
Now, what's this morning's paper got to do with that man?
Listen to this. New light on Bromley death. The authorities have removed the veil of secrecy surrounding the death of 78-year-old Herbert Grange. It will be remembered that he was found dead 10 days ago. Grange was found lying beside his desk, a post-mortem revealing that the nature of the wound suggested that he'd been stabbed by an extremely narrow weapon, possibly a stiletto. Our crime correspondent...
Really, Emily, do I have to listen to all this at breakfast?
No, you don't understand. I remember now what was so strange about that job lot of books we bought.
Well,
we bought them from Mr. Grange.
Did we?
Oh, really, Harriet, I couldn't wish for a nicer young sister. But sometimes... Listen to this. The police have now revealed... that at the time of the discovery of the dead man's body, a sharp instrument known as an Italian stiletto was lying close by. The telephone had been knocked off the desk, and the knife lay tangled with the telephone.
But Emily, really?
Although the police surgeon could not discount the possibilities of suicide, the stiletto showed no signs of blood on it.
This is perfectly disgusting. You're becoming quite morbid.
Suicide, stiletto, blood. What's come over you?
Oh, please, Harriet, dear, bear with me a little longer.
It says now, Mr. Grange lived at the top of an old house which had only one means of exit and access. On the night of his death, he was alone in his room for at least half an hour following his return from his habitual evening stroll.
Do you realize the time? Do you realize that it is 9:10 and that we are due to open in 10 minutes?
Oh, dear. Oh, so we are.
Sorry to trouble you, Inspector. I'm swearing to you, Sergeant.
Yes?
You know, the lady who keeps the library on Hilton Road.
Oh, what am I supposed to do about that?
Well, sir, she says she has some information concerning the death of Mr. Grange.
The man who was stabbed. What information?
Oh, I don't know, sir, but she seems quite definite that she's got something useful to tell us.
In which case, show her in, will you? And you'd better stay, too. We might need a witness.
Very good, sir. Come through, please.
Oh, well, thank you. Good afternoon, Inspector Martin.
Hello, Miss Waring. Haven't seen you in a month of Sundays. Come and sit down.
Oh, thank you.
Now, Sergeant Birdley says you have some information for us.
I have indeed. I know my sister Harriet will think I'm being foolish. Had to tell her a white lie.
A white lie?
Well, I couldn't very well say I was leaving the shop to call on the police.
I take it Harriet is your sister.
Yes, a great deal younger sister. And I'm afraid inclined to be somewhat cynical.
Well, let's start at the beginning, shall we? What have you to tell us?
Oh, dear, now that I'm here, I feel rather foolish. I hope you won't think so, too.
You told Sergeant Bertley it was about the Grange case.
It is. You see, a young man came in to borrow a book. He seemed so eager about it.
A book?
It was called The Thin Blade of Death by Robert Heath. We got it among a job lot of books we bought from the late Mr. Grange.
The man who was stabbed?
That's right.
Now, what makes you think that this book has something to do with Mr. Granger's death?
Well, this young man... Oh, I was so sure he gave a false name and address. And after a while, when he hadn't returned the book, I called at the address he gave. There is no such street as West Street, at least not on the bus.
Go on.
Well, that's it.
It?
Well, don't you see, Inspector? You find the young man who borrowed the book, and you have solved the mystery.
I see, Miss Waring. Thank you. All right, Sergeant, show the lady out.
But, Inspector, you don't understand.
Please, Miss Waring, I have a lot of work to do.
But don't you see, I read in the paper that the police are inclined to believe the theory of suicide.
Now, never mind what you read in the paper. We haven't completed our investigations yet.
But is it not true that Mr. Grange was stabbed just below the heart?
Yes, yes.
And is it not true that you think he did it himself?
Please show the lady out, Sergeant.
But, Inspector, he
please,
could...
You heard what the Inspector said.
Oh, dear. Oh, well, all right. But you can't hope to solve the case the way you're going about it. Good day to you.
Sorry, Inspector. I didn't think she was one of those cranks playing at being a detective. All this business of a young man with a false address.
Tell me, Sergeant, do you think Grange committed suicide?
Oh, what else could it be, sir? The porter saw him go up to his room after his walk. No one else came up or down until he was found stabbed. Mind you, that clean stiletto, that's the worrying bit. If he stabbed him just below the heart and then pulled out the stiletto, surely there'd been some blood.
Yes, of course, yes. You know what the police surgeon thinks? He thinks that Grange wanted to kill himself and yet didn't want an instant death. That is why he struck below the heart.
But you don't believe that, do you?
No, I don't believe a man is capable of such an act of suicide that he'd pierce his own body in order to stay alive long enough to do something such as...
Such as wiping the stiletto clean and then dispose of the means of cleaning?
Exactly. Yet what other explanation can there be? Was he trying to make it appear that he hadn't killed himself? That's nonsense. All he had to do was to stage an accident somewhere. That would have been much easier. You know, the whole thing is so fantastic, it could be suicide. Or it might be some wildly improbable murderer. Like your Miss Emily Waring, for instance.
Make for the lights. Take a look at the nightlife. Go to town. Get in. Get into the swing. Step out with a crowd. Get places with Super Shell. With confidence, with pleasure. For the life you like, for the action you want, pull in at the Shell sign. There's where the enjoyment starts. So get set. Go well. Go well, go Shell. That's the one to get you to the front. Shell.
Don't you think we'd better start cataloguing the second-hand books in the storeroom? Oh, Emily, I wish you'd pay attention.
Oh, but I am, dear.
No, you're not. You've had your nose stuck in that book for the last 2 days. What is it that makes it so absorbing? What's it called?
Well, you see, Harriet, dear, it's this...
Don't tell me you're reading a book and you don't know the name of it.
It's Robert Heath's The Thin Blade of Death.
Oh, I don't remember us ordering that book.
No, I did.
Oh, Emily.
Oh, I haven't put it in the stock, dear. I paid for it myself.
What on earth for? Oh, I see. That's the book the man borrowed.
Yes, dear. I never returned. I found out who printed the book, and that very nice traveler, Mr. Lawrence, got it for me.
Oh, Emily, you are the strangest creature. You can't get this Peter Goldsmith out of your mind, can you?
No, I can't. And for a very good reason. I think I know now why he was so anxious to get hold of a copy of the book. Oh, dear. Oh, look at the time. It's gone 1 o'clock. It's my turn for a half day. I must rush. I've got an appointment.
But you had your hair done yesterday.
Oh, but it's not with the hairdresser. It's with the porter of a block of flats.
Well, I don't mind telling you, Miss Waring, I don't sleep a night thinking of that poor bloke. Oh, proper gentleman was Mr. Grange. Fancy having to die like that.
Oh, I don't think, Mr. Johnson, it's the sort of way anyone would choose to take their own life.
Suicide? Oh, I put my head on the block. The old gentleman never committed suicide.
But I read what you said at the inquest. What else could it be?
Well, I don't know. Neither did that inquest. Otherwise, he wouldn't have given an open verdict. Well, I'm not sure what that means quite.
It means that they were not sure whether the poor man died accidentally, suicidally, or perhaps it was a premeditated act of murder.
Sounds like one of your whodunits you got in the library. You know, when the police started questioning me, made me feel as though I'd done it.
Oh, come, come. I'm sure nobody thought that. And do you think it was suicide?
Of course I don't. It's a funny thing, Miss Waring. I stake my life. No one walked up them stairs after Mr. Grange come back from his walk.
Oh, and why are you so sure?
Because I sat in the passage, the front door open. Saw everybody who'd come up. And only Mr. and Mrs. Moss, who live on the first floor, went up them stairs. Heard them open their door, go to their flat.
Oh, quite extraordinary. Yeah. What happened then?
Well, then I heard a bump, like a chair falling over. And Mr. Moss, he pops his head out and says, did you hear that noise? And I says, yes, comes from Mr. Grange's room. And I opened the door. And there he was. Oh, he was struggling for breath, so he tried to say something. Mr. Moss ran down the street corner to fetch a cop, but by the time he arrived, it was all over. Oh, poor old gentleman.
And you didn't touch anything, as they say in the detective stories?
Oh, no, not a thing. Oh, should have heard the way they questioned me at the station. There I was under a naked light shining down on me.
Oh, now, now, now. You got that from the last book I lent you. You can understand how strange it appeared to the police. Yeah. Poor Mr. Grange is stabbed with what looks like a thin stiletto. There was one lying beside him, but it was absolutely clean. No blood on it at all.
Yes, what everyone's saying, Miss Emily. Well, that's not my fault, is it? When I sack in, his window was bolted and barred on the inside. No one could have got in. No one could have got in through the front door either. I mean, that makes three suspects, doesn't it? Mr. and Mrs. Moss. And me.
Oh, come, come. You're allowing your imagination to run away with you again. Do you know how long Mr. Grange had had that stiletto?
Oh, never seen it before.
But you used to go into the room to clean.
Of course. Mr. Grange has been living in this house for 25 years. He never mentioned it before.
Strange. Very strange. Oh, I wonder. I think I'll have a word with the postman.
Now that's right, Miss Emily. I delivered that stiletto to Mr. Grange.
Are you sure it was a stiletto?
Oh, quite sure, because, you see, I was just about to knock on the door of the house when the old gentleman came out. Oh, there's a parcel for you, sir.
A parcel for me? Good heavens. I wonder who that could be from. How astonishing. I don't know what it could be.
Well, sir, it's all wrapped. It looks as though it looks as though it might be a knife. Would you like me to unwrap it for you?
No, would you? It would be so kind of you. Arthritis, you know.
It would be a pleasure, sir. If you'll just sign the receipt here.
Pleasure? Oh, yes, yes, of course. Yeah.
Ah, that's it. Now, let's see what you've got here.
What?
Why, it's a dagger.
Goodness gracious, it's what they call a stiletto. Doesn't seem to be a note with it. I hope there isn't some mistake.
Well, it's got your name on it.
Well, it's not look a gift horse in the mouth. Perhaps they forgot to enclose the note. Make a very useful paper cutter.
He went upstairs and I didn't see him again.
Well, Inspector, here is the book. And you have the stiletto. I suppose it will not be very difficult to trace the manufacturer.
We know the manufacturer of the stiletto, Miss Waring.
Would it be presumptuous for me to suggest that you send out a call, I believe is the phrase, for a young man about 5'10" in height, red hair, blue eyes, clean-shaven with a slight scar on his left cheek?
This is either the biggest wild goose chase since Jack the Ripper, or we all ought to throw away our uniforms and invite you to take over. All right, we'll pull him in.
Miss Waring speaking.
Oh, Miss Waring, Inspector Martin. I wonder if you'd be kind enough to come down to the police station. We've got our bird.
What?
We traced him within 3 hours, thanks to your suggestion.
You're mistaken, Inspector. This is Harriet Waring speaking, her younger sister.
I see.
I have to tell you that my sister no longer wishes to cooperate with the police, I think is the term.
It's no longer a question of cooperation, madam. Miss Emily has cooperated magnificently. I just wanted to come down to the station and identify the man in question. We think we've got him.
Why my sister? Why not me? I was here when the young man arrived. In fact, I spent a full 15 minutes in his company. We were alone together whilst my sister went rummaging in the storeroom.
Oh, I see. Most interesting. I wonder if you'd be good enough to help with the identification, then.
Well,
we would be awfully grateful. You'll be only doing your duty. We'll send a police car for you.
Ah, Miss Waring. The inspector's waiting for you in his office. This way, please.
Come in. Oh, thank you for coming, ladies.
Young man, what have you done with that book you borrowed from us more than 2 months ago?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Do you recognize the young man?
Oh, recognize him? Of course I recognize him.
And you, Miss Harriet?
He's the man, all right.
All right, Constable. Take him back to the cells.
It's pinched, Inspector. Young Graves swears he was nowhere near Brumley that evening. We got a policeman, a nursemaid, and a young married couple all willing to swear they saw him. They recognized his pictures at once.
That does it, then. If he hadn't lied about not ordering those stilettos and about giving the false name when ordering the book and giving us that phony alibi, it wouldn't have been so easy to make that case stick.
Good afternoon, ladies. There's more books for you.
Oh, thank you. Just put them over there. I'll sign for them.
Oh, well, here you are, madam. Just sign there. Thank you. Have you seen the early edition of the paper?
No. Has anything happened?
Well, young Grange confessed.
Oh.
Fancy stabbing his uncle like that.
Oh, anything else?
No, I saw it in the stop press. Says that Arnold Grange, accused of murdering his uncle, has confessed.
I knew it. It had to be him. It was obvious. Oh, I must get all the news from the inspector.
Good day, ladies.
Good day to you.
Hello. Waring Bookshop.
Miss Waring?
Yes.
Inspector Martin would like to have a word with you.
Oh.
It's Miss Waring, sir.
Thank you, Sergeant. Hello, Miss Waring.
Oh, hello.
Oh, how nice to hear your voice. Have you heard the news? We have a full confession. We were able to produce the dealer where he bought the two stilettos and witnesses who saw him speak to his uncle in the park.
I still don't understand. He stabbed his uncle with one stiletto, not two. But he needed two stilettos. Fancy needing two stilettos to commit murder. But you haven't read the book, Harriet. That's where he got the idea from. Oh, I see. But why should he want the book back?
No one would suspect.
But we don't know, do we? That's what he was afraid of. You see, the poor old gentleman had no living relatives other than this young man. So he left him all his money.
Ah, so that's why he committed the murder.
Yes.
But hadn't he got any parents, this Arnold Graham?
His mother died, and so he came to Bromley. Saw his uncle out, who was delighted to see him. The old gentleman told his nephew he was going to be his sole beneficiary, I think the phrase is.
But the book, The Thin Blade of Death, or whatever it's called.
It's incriminating evidence, my dear. He sent that very copy to his uncle last Christmas. It's all in the book, how a man was stabbed on his way home. And it was all done so quickly and with so thin a blade that the victim didn't realize that he'd been stabbed until he got back into his own room where he collapsed.
And that's what he did to his uncle.
Yes. He knew that his uncle went for a stroll in the park every evening. He knew that in his uncle's room was a replica of the murder weapon. It was all there in the book he read. Just like the villain in the story, Arnold Grange bought two stilettos, posted one to his uncle, and stabbed him with the other.
What a terrible thing to do.
Oh, terrible indeed. Had he not come into the shop to ask for the book, he might have got away with it.
I wonder what made him do that.
But didn't you see what was written on the flyleaf? It said, "To my dear uncle from his affectionate nephew, Arnold Grange." Well, imagine that young man's feelings. He thinks he's got away with a perfect murder, only to discover that his uncle had sold his library of books to us. No wonder he stood outside this shop trying to summon up the courage to retrieve the thin blade of death. Oh, Harriet, look.
What now?
Look through the window. Standing on the other side of the road, that strange-looking man with staring eyes. You don't think... Oh, no. He's coming over.
Can I help you?
Yes.
You're looking very nervous, young man. Are you looking for any particular kind of book?
Yes, I am, rather.
Oh, you are?
Well, you see, You see, I'm getting married next week, and I wondered if you had a copy of Dr. Elizabeth Fotheringham's Married Love.
And what's so funny about that?
Listen to the sound of Le Mans. The drama of the Daytona 24-hour. The Brands Hatch 500 Mile. The Monaco Grand Prix. These are some of the great motor races of the world.
Here on these engine-punishing endurance tracks. Here, a motor oil must give the ultimate in lubrication, and that's why so many world champion drivers like Graham Hill and Dennis Hulme rely on Shell motor oil.
From the knowledge, from the experience gained on the great racetracks of the world, Shell has developed a motor oil for you, the motorist. An oil to give you the best in engine protection. Shell Super Motor Oil.
Most world championship races are won on Shell.
Reason enough for using Shell Super Motor Oil in your car?
As it was written by Arthur Wilmot. The part of Emily Waring was played by Valerie Miller. Others in the cast were Hugh Rouse, George Carellin, Clive Parnell, Gabriel Bayman, and Elaine Lee. As it was written was adapted and produced by Michael Silver for Shell.
We'll be right back. And now a reminder for you to be tuned in again next Tuesday night at 9 for another play in our series,
Shell, Theatre of the Air.